the Bible says we are to build one another up, and that applies in a marriage relationship. But what do you do if you look at your spouse and you go, there's just not much I can find that's encouraging here? Here's Aaron Ivey.
It's not about being fake. It's not about just, oh, you're awesome. It's about finding something in your spouse that you can cheer on, right? Because there's a lot of things about me that Jamie shouldn't cheer on. There are things that I need to change still. There are ways that I still need to grow and mature and all of that kind of stuff. But in your spouse, no matter who they are, you can find something in them to cheer. It's like believing into them something that's true about themselves.
This is Family Life Today for Wednesday, May 5th. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. When was the last time you were a cheerleader for your spouse? And when was the last time your spouse would say, I felt like you were encouraging me? We're going to talk more about the priority of encouragement today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. One of my favorite video clips from the Art of Marriage video series that Family Life produced a number of years ago was something that was shared with us by our mutual friend, Robin McKelvey. Robin and her husband, Ray, speak at the Family Life Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways with us. And Robin made the statement. She talked about the fact that in high school, she had been a cheerleader.
Right.
And she said the team that they cheered for didn't win a game all season. And, you know, here it is the fourth quarter and you're down by four touchdowns. Robin said, we cheered for a stinky team, but we had to keep cheering for them even when they were stinky. And she said, and then she realized when she got married, she had to take off her wedding dress, she said, and put on a cheerleader uniform.
And cheer for the stinky team.
There were days the team was not playing well, and you still have to cheer them on.
It's true.
You guys had an opportunity to talk about this subject recently with friends of ours, Aaron and Jamie Ivey. Many of our listeners probably listened to Jamie's podcast, which is called The Happy Hour. Aaron, her husband, is a worship pastor at Austin Stone Church in Austin, Texas. He's a songwriter. He's a musician. And in fact, Dave, since you played a song for him that you had written, you decided during this time, maybe you'd let the pro take the guitar.
He sort of wanted to one-up me, and he surely did.
Let's listen to your conversation with the Ivies.
You got a song for us?
Sure. Okay. Right. I mean, it's the book's about love. So this is a song called Your Love is Relentless. It's about Jesus. It's not about Jamie.
Do it again. Your love is relentless. Good job, babe.
I listen to you, Erin, and I'm thinking about your book. Like, Jamie, you are so gifted. You're a communicator. You're a writer. And then, Erin, your gifts are different, and yet you guys complement each other well without competing or being jealous of each other.
Yeah.
Is that pretty typical, or do you get jealous of one another and your giftings?
I don't think we get jealous of one another.
No.
No. I would say the thing that I have to work the hardest at is to, let me just throw all my junk on the table.
Oh, good, good.
Is to remember to, like, cheer Erin on in what he's doing. I've had to learn 20 years. I mean, he'll come in with a new song. And when I tell you guys that I'm not musical,
she ain't musical,
I mean, it's
y'all.
Like, all of you guys started singing. There's no way I would even gonna open my mouth with this mic in front of me.
Nope.
So it's not even that I can't sing. I don't understand it. It all kind of sounds the same to me. I mean, it's just not what I do. Mm. And so he can bring a song in, and many times I have failed and just been like, okay, yeah, it's great, whatever. What do you want to do? And that's been so hurtful to him.
You have a whole chapter called Cheer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you never read our Vertical Marriage book, but there's a moment in our marriage, and I'll make it very brief because I want to hear what you think of this and then how it applies to marriage. But Anne was asked to speak at our church to mothers of preschoolers. Mm-hmm. And she says to me last minute, hey, you want to go with me? It'd be great. It's only women. They probably love to hear a man's perspective.
They're going to love Pastor Dave coming. Uh-huh. Like, oh, they're going to love it. Come with me.
So we go. She's like, what are you going to talk about? I go, I don't know. You do your thing, and I'll just be color commentary.
So he gets all animated, and he's getting into this, and I have no idea what he's going to say. And he goes, women, I don't think you get what it's like to be a man. I'm like, that's true. And he goes, you know, what happens is usually as little boys, we have someone in our lives cheering for us. Like, yeah, you're good at this. You're good. Mom, dad, watch me. He goes, and then I found out I was good in sports. And so I have coaches and teachers like, Dave Wilson, you're good at this. And they're cheering for me. And he goes, and then when I met Anne, she basically says, of all the men in the world, I choose you, Dave Wilson. You're the man. And she's cheering for me. And then he goes, and now what, you know what it's like now, women? It's like this, like walk in the door at the end of a long day, and all I hear is boo, boo. And I'm sitting on the stool like.
You're mortified.
Oh, my goodness. You're like,
what?
This is my event.
We should have at least talked about this.
Exactly. Erin,
yes.
You're the guest. It's my event.
Yes. We get in the car. I don't even know how we ended. We get in the car, and I'm like, what was that?
And
I said, I am not booing you. I am helping you.
But yeah, that's that whole, how important is it that your spouse feels like you're being cheered by the other? Mm. I mean, talk about that.
I mean,
that.
It's
yeah.
a chapter title.
Right.
Yeah. Cheer.
Because
I think it's one of the most foundational things to our marriage.
Mm. Wow.
Is that we're each other's biggest cheerleaders.
So you never had that feeling of boo.
No, I'm sure
you
have.
We've had moments where it's been like, I don't feel like you're like for me, and you are the loudest cheerleader in my life. But I would say, you know, it started out with us realizing how important that is, and us like really challenging ourselves and each other to be each other's biggest cheerleaders. Because if you think about it, when you're dating somebody, you have no problem cheering them on.
Right.
You're writing them letters. You can't wait to take them flowers or pick them up and tell them how beautiful they are. But for whatever reason, whenever you get married, that seems to kind of go away because you assume, well, of course, you know, I love you. I mean,
right.
I'm still here,
you,
right?
Yeah.
But it just takes much more work and intentionality to go, no, I want to keep reminding you that I love you. And here's why. Because every person is going to be cheered on by somebody in their life. Your spouse has a boss, a supervisor, they have a professor, they've got people in their life that really esteem them or think highly of them. And so they're going to find verbal affirmation. They're going to find cheering from somebody. And if it's not you, that's going to become more and more attractive and more appreciated. And one of the ways for me to like make sure that I'm like rooted and grounded and humble is to know that my spouse is actually the biggest cheerleader in my life. Because at the end of the day, who do I really want to believe in me? It's Jamie, not a complete stranger that I'll never see again. And so we just talk about that a lot in our marriage for me to be able to say like, hey, Jamie, this is important for me. Not just so you're puffing me up. I don't need to feel better about myself.
Right.
But I want to know that you still believe in me after all these years. And I've just made a commitment. Nobody is going to out-cheer Jamie Ivy besides me.
Oh,
nobody.
That's good.
That's my commitment. I want her to get that from me. And it's not about being fake.
Yeah.
It's not about just, oh, you're awesome. It's about finding something in your spouse mm-hmm. that you can cheer on. Because there's a lot of things about me that Jamie shouldn't cheer on. There are things that I need to change still. There are ways that I still need to grow and mature and all of that kind of stuff. But in your spouse, no matter who they are, you can find something in them to cheer. It's like believing into them something that's true about themselves, which I think is so important.
Can you find it? Because I'm guessing there's a listener right now going, you don't know my spouse.
Let me ask Jamie that. Because I have wives coming up to me all the time because we talk about this often, and she'll say, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Talk to the young wife that says, honestly, I don't see anything.
You know, I think that's important to kind of back up a little bit from the cheer thing, too, because Aaron just said it's not about just puffing them up. Yeah. It's not about them, me sitting around and every day looking at Aaron and being like, you're the most amazing man I've ever met. That's not what he wants. And that's dumb, you know?
Yeah.
But it is a matter of like, how can I look at his world and his day-to-day life and how can I be involved in it somehow? We live very different lives. You know, he works at a church, I run my own thing, but how can I still be for him in whatever he's doing? And so for that wife, it's like, I don't see anything good. You can at least sit down and actually want to listen about their day. And I think that goes a long way, just to have someone that's interested in you when you walk in the door. I mean, you made the joke about that, and yeah. We've all experienced that. And the thing is, man, when I'm staying at home with little kids, the minute Aaron walked in the door, I didn't care how his day was. I just wanted him to take the children.
Absolutely.
Right. And so that's even having to fight for that, of him having to know, when I come home, I got to be on. And me thinking, when he comes home, I can't just bail.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're a team. And so it's even just like investing in those little things and wanting to know how their day was.
One of my favorite authors, his name is Brennan Manning. He says, every human being possesses the power to step into somebody's life and place the courage into them to simply be by their words of affirmation. Hmm. And so many times we're waiting for somebody to become something and then encourage them or cheer them on. Hmm. But part of encouraging someone is placing the courage in them to become the person that they are going to become. You know what I'm saying?
So it's it all the time.
Absolutely.
And we do it in our parenting.
Yes.
Yeah.
But to do it with your spouse, you might be tempted to go, man, he's just working all the time. He just cares about his job. He's an overachiever. But instead to go, you know what? I see something in you that's really good. You work really hard. Right. That's not like over applauding or just like saying you're awesome. There's an element of truth to that, and it's placing the courage in them to do that better, you know, to say, you work really well. I love that part of you. And you're placing courage in them that ultimately, like a spouse that hears that over and over and over again from their loved one, if Jamie did that to me, that makes me want to go, man, I want to be a better man for her because she sees something really great in me. Mm. I'm not the best man yet, but I want to become a better and better man.
Yeah, it's motivating.
After that moment in our marriage, she started to cheer me.
And the reason I did was because I went to God and I was so mad about the whole thing, but I got on my knees and I said, God, is that true? Mm. Do I boo Dave?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes. Mm. And so my prayer was, God, show me the greatness in Dave, because God sees the greatness in all of us.
That's pretty.
And so he asked me to start looking for it and then call it out. So it gave me new eyes. Don't you see that?
It didn't change in a week, but no,
it took a while, people.
Just like you were saying, she started to call me a great man, a great husband.
Mm-hmm.
I think one day she even got a cheerleader sweater and had a big D on it.
This is his dream.
No, it wasn't for Detroit or Dallas. It was for Dave. But anyway, that never happened. But I just remember something came alive in my soul. And I used to say men, you know, come alive when they're respected. I think it's men and women.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just men.
Yeah.
You know, when your spouse or somebody, you're running to that place.
Yeah.
Because it lifts you up.
Yeah. I remember when I was at home with the kids and, you know, all of our kids are teenagers. And so they go to school every day, which gives me an opportunity to work more. But I remember when I was a stay-at-home mom, and anyone that has been in those shoes, know it's not only exhausting, but a lot of times it feels unrewarding. I mean, you're it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Over and over, and no one cheers you on. Speaking of cheering, they just demand things from you. But I'll never forget this. One year, Aaron gave me for my birthday a membership to a co-working space, and a co-working where I could go and work for a day. And here I was at home feeling as though God was putting a dream in me to do something different than what I had done previously to having kids. I was a teacher and a coach, and I really felt God stirring something. I had said something to him, but I mean, I'm day-to-day mom. And he gave that to me, and he said, I want you to have this computer, and I want you to have these days at this co-working space, and we'll figure the kids out. And I remember feeling like he sees that that there's more to me than just making sandwich lunches and goldfish and driving to preschool every day.
So many goldfish.
And I just remember feeling so encouraged. And it was years later, you guys, before I did anything with that computer or the job I do now. And it doesn't have to be a computer. It doesn't have to be a co-working space. But it is an opportunity as spouses to look at them and say, I see something in you that maybe you don't even see yet.
So as you're sharing that, wait. Okay. You're teary as you're sharing that.
Yeah.
Because it meant so much.
It meant so much to me because he saw me. And as a stay-at-home mom, so often we feel unseen. And I love that season of staying home. I'm grateful. That is a privilege that a lot of women in this world don't have. And so I would never change that for anything. But to be seen by Aaron when he went every day to work, and I thought, well, that must be nice.
Yeah.
You have a lunch meeting? Okay.
And everybody's cheering him.
Yeah. But I felt so seen, and it meant a lot to me.
Aaron, what prompted you to do that?
I probably did something wrong the day before. And I was like, I got to figure out something. I've had people believe things about me that I didn't believe about myself. And maybe it wasn't always a gift. It could have just been a word or whatever. And so, you know, when somebody is that important to you, like a spouse, I just wanted to have like eyes open. And I've always seen Jamie as more than just like who she is today, because she's awesome. And I don't know, just having eyes wide open to see what are all the unique things that make you who you are, that makes you different than everybody else on the planet. And how can I pour fuel on those little fires, you know? It was really that. And I say that not as like how awesome I am. I'm saying we've had that intentionality grow in our marriage. Mm-hmm. We didn't start out that way, but the more we experience what it feels like to be cheered on, the more you look for opportunities to cheer the other person on.
That's right.
So it might just start with little baby steps, you know? Because the stories you're hearing, these are, you know, sometimes 20 years, 10 years into marriage. And I think you grow and you mature and you develop, you learn how to use muscles in a different way. I wouldn't have probably done that the first 6 months of our marriage. So my encouragement is take one step forward in seeing something in your spouse and cheer them on in that way. Mm. It might be a gift, it might be a card, it might be a date night of just you going, here's 10 things I really love about you.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I know that I've told Ann, and she's the best in the world at it. I mean, nobody cheers me like this woman.
You're so nice.
I mean, this is the woman I said boos me, right?
Yeah.
She's just an amazing cheerleader now, and I watched her do it with our boys.
Mm.
And, you know, earlier you said, you know, stay-at-home moms need to be cheered, and it's so true, but so do men. Mm. Even men that have jobs that where we get cheered, you come home and you're like, does she see?
Yeah.
Do they see?
Right.
This kind of thing. So it's so critical. So I would say to the listener, find something every day.
Yeah.
It's actually possible.
Oh, yeah.
So like once a day at least.
Yeah, just find a moment in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, Ann no longer gives me love cards.
Mm.
They're not love cards. They're cheer cards.
Mm.
We don't call them cheer cards, but, you know, she knew the love cards. I was like, oh, you love me, and I threw it away.
Mm.
You know, and now she writes these things she's seen, and they're in a drawer, and I can pull every one of them out.
That's cool.
Because they're affirming, and they bring life to a man or a woman, to a son or a daughter, to a neighbor.
Yeah.
Can you imagine your neighbors if they saw you as the ones that cheered them? Mm-hmm. It's just that he's going to draw them to Christ.
I'm going to say one more thing for these stay-at-home moms. What Aaron had to learn to do was that when he was coming home, however long it took him to get from the office to home, that was his decompression time.
Yeah.
He didn't get to come in and lay in the recliner for the hour. Like, we don't do that at our house. You come home, you get to be dad and husband. And I had to learn that when Aaron comes home, I actually wanted those first 10 minutes he walked in the door to be for me. And so the kids are all excited. Dad's home. But I get those first minutes.
What's that look like?
Because I needed that. I had not talked to anybody all day, you know? I've been in the car all day listening to VeggieTales. And so I needed those first 10 minutes. And we had to work through that. Because until Aaron realized the time home is what I get, you know, you don't get to come in and decompress. And for me, I didn't get to just stay in the kitchen and wave at him when he walked in. Like, we needed to have a moment, because if you've got little kids, you don't get that again till 8:30.
Right.
And so I think that was really good when we had little kids, was to decide, okay, when you walk in the door, we need 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's either just tell me how your day was or how was your day or let's hug, kiss, whatever it looks like.
Put the TV on, throw out some Cheerios. Guys, mom and dad are me in the kitchen for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's good.
And just make time for each other.
Yeah.
If not,
and it's intentional.
It never happens.
You have to think about it.
And it's good. I mean, people can think, oh, but our kids need us. No.
No, they don't.
What their kids need is they need to watch your parents. Oh, marriage is a priority.
Yeah.
This is important.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just modeled compliment.
That's right.
Because you spoke the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard and it complimented one.
Yeah, I
know you know that, but I was just like, that's a beautiful thing. Because a lot of times we think, I don't want to share something that's hurtful, that's not cheering. But no, sometimes the truth in love packaged well leads to a beautiful complimentary marriage.
Well, we've been listening to the Cheer Squad, Dave and Ann Wilson talking with Aaron and Jamie Ivey about the importance of being cheerleaders for one another. You talked about booing and being negative, and some people will say, well, I don't do that. Silence. I mean, imagine playing a sports game. Players have had to deal with this. They go into arenas today and there's nobody cheering for them. And that feels like a boo when we're silent with one another.
Yeah. And can you imagine if there were fans sitting there and not saying anything? It's like your spouse sitting there and there's no comment. It feels like a very loud boo.
Have you heard about this? This is something that happens at Taylor University.
Oh, you told us this.
So
this
every year they have a basketball game where for the first, I think it's until their team gets to 10 points, the fans all show up and are completely silent. And at first, it freaked the other team out completely. And then everybody's kind of prepped for it now. But when they get to point 10, the place erupts with raucous, like they won the Super Bowl kind of thing. Well, yeah, that's silent arena. When that's true in your marriage, when you're not speaking proactively, words of encouragement and edification makes a huge difference.
I think it demotivates us and we stop trying as hard. And I'm going to tell you guys one more thing that's not good. When your wife comes out and she says, how do I look? And you could either say nothing or even fine. That right there is a bad thing, too. You might as well be booing.
So stunning is the appropriate answer,
or just
right?
Great. It doesn't have to be stunning, like, great, hun. But you don't lie, but I'm just saying, fine.
Are you talking to me right now? Or is this to the listener?
I'm helping the listener.
Okay.
Your conversation has helped the listeners, and we hope our listeners will get a copy of the books that Aaron and Jamie have written. And I say books because they've taken the same subject, the same chapters. And Aaron has written a book for husbands, and Jamie has written a book for wives. They come packaged together. We are making them available to Family Life Today listeners. If you will make a donation to support the ministry this month to help extend the reach of what we're doing here at Family Life, to help us help more people more often with practical biblical help and hope for their marriage, we'll send you these books as our thank you gift. In addition, whatever donation you make today is going to be matched dollar for dollar up to a total of $250,000. We've had some friends of the ministry who have come to us and said, we'll match every donation in the month of May as a way to help advance the ministry of Family Life and to encourage you to be a part of the work that God is doing here. So you make a donation either online at familylifetoday.com or by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY. You'll get the Ivy's books, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar. Go to familylifetoday.com to make your online donation or call us right now at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Thanks in advance for helping to extend the reach of this ministry and for investing, really what you're investing in is the lives, the marriages, the families of hundreds of thousands of people who every day are coming to Family Life for help and hope. So thanks for making that happen. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about how important it is for us as parents to be regularly praying for our children and at the same time teaching our children how to pray. Nancy Guthrie is going to join us for that. I hope you can be with us as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Bruce Goff, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. a crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.